Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. The opening prayer for today's Mass, you know, not very often do I speak of the opening prayer, but to those of you who have been longtime listeners, you know how much I value this opening prayer because it tells us, it shows us what the focus is for the liturgy. And in a certain way, by showing us that, it teaches us how to pray for those graces for ourselves. Listen to this one. Be present to your family, O Lord, we pray, and graciously ensure those you have endowed with the grace of faith, an eternal share in the resurrection of your only begotten Son. Those you have endowed with the grace of faith. Most of you listening to this program have faith. Doesn't mean you don't have doubts sometimes, but basically you live out of faith that God is who he says he is, that he gave us his Son to die for our sins that we might inherit eternal life, that those who are faithful to him and walk with him will receive the kingdom. That's the gospel at its most rudimentary level. You are loved, and we are the family of God, and we do have faith, and yet sometimes it gets shaken. So be present to your family, O Lord, we pray, and graciously ensure those you have endowed with the grace of faith. Even if it's wobbly, you do believe, you have endowed with the grace of faith an eternal share in the resurrection of your only begotten Son. I will eternally share in the life of God. I won't be a spectator. I will share. This is my Father. I am his children. This is my Lord and my Savior and my Redeemer, and I am his disciple, his handmaid, his servant. I am his son or his daughter, and I will have an eternal share in the resurrection of your only begotten Son. The power of the resurrection that triumphs over all sin, all death, all evil, forever. I have a share in that as long as I follow him and repent when I fail. Do you believe that? Do you live out of that? Do you know who you really are? It's imperative, brothers and sisters, and especially today when nothing's quite right or wrong, it's just whatever you want it to be. We've moved away from any objective standards of truth and morality. Where do you stand? Are you standing firm? Are you faithful? That's the important thing. Don't worry about others right now. Simply look at your own soul. As people interact with you day after day, do they know you as a man or woman of faith? And that doesn't mean you always have to be speaking of religious topics. What are your standards? What are your values? What do you put first? Is it in accord with the gospel? In the Acts of the Apostles today, chapter 8, verses 1 to 8, there broke out a severe persecution of the church in Jerusalem, and all were scattered throughout the countryside of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made a loud lament over him. Saul, meanwhile, was trying to destroy the church, entering house after house and dragging out men and women. He handed them over for imprisonment. It was a very difficult time after Stephen's death. Very difficult. It would be easy, wouldn't it, to give up faith? I mean, I believed in Jesus as long as I could see him, but now he's gone. They say he rose. I don't know. I haven't seen him. I don't know what I believe. Meanwhile, I'm being attacked on all sides. What would you do in that situation? It says, now those who had been scattered, remember when the severe persecution broke out, all were scattered throughout the countryside of Judea and Samaria, except for the apostles. They stayed to tend the people there. But many, many Christians were scattered. They were fleeing, trying to find safety, and yet God was going to use them. Now those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. They didn't let what happened in the persecution in Jerusalem dissuade them. They went about preaching the word, knowing that they were subject to imprisonment. Thus Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed Christ to them. With one accord, the crowds paid attention to what was said by Philip when they heard it and saw the signs he was doing. Philip was an eyewitness to Christ. Philip could declare to them the truth. They heard it. They knew it. Brothers and sisters, you and I can proclaim the truth by the power of the Holy Spirit, even if we were not eyewitnesses to what happened in Jerusalem at that moment. If we have the Holy Spirit within us, that is, if we're living in a state of grace and the Spirit dwells within us, He can speak through us. He can teach us. He can lead us, just as He did these early apostles. Are you open to that? Do you believe that that's possible? It is. Thus Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Christ to them. With one accord, the crowds paid attention to what was said by Philip when they heard it and saw the signs he was doing. For unclean spirits, crying out in a loud voice, came out of many possessed people, and many paralyzed and crippled people were cured. And there was great joy in that city. It was tumultuous. It was probably pretty disorderly. But Philip was preaching the truth, and people knew it. You know, can't you tell when someone's preaching from a script and when someone's preaching from their heart and spirit? Doesn't mean that there isn't any less preparation, but they're speaking out of a union of heart and mind. So often we're operating just out of our minds. But when the heart is engaged, when your faith is engaged, when your love is engaged, it makes a difference. People sit up and listen to you. If you're just saying memorized words, it's not necessarily going to touch hearts unless God so chooses. But when someone is a true disciple and on fire, and you speak the truth, even if it's one sentence, you can change lives because God's Holy Spirit is infused through the words He gives you. For unclean spirits crying out in a loud voice came out of many possessed people, and many paralyzed and crippled people were cured. There's all kinds of paralysis, all kinds of crippling in body, in mind, in spirit. You and I are called by Jesus Christ as His disciples to help set them free. Are you living as a disciple? That means a close relationship with God, an attentiveness, daily time with Him. And when God sees that steady faithfulness, He will use you. Psalm 66, let all the earth cry out to God with joy. Even in the midst of difficulty, even in the midst of this persecution, the disciples were bringing joy to many people. They had their headset on right. They had their priorities straight. And we all know, as you read the scripture, it took them a while to get those priorities. But here they are in the first big test, and they had those priorities. Instead of hiding, instead of running away, because they were pushed out of the city, what did they do? They just went elsewhere and kept right on preaching. Psalm 66, let all the earth cry out to God with joy. May that be true in our generation. May that be true here now in reality. May we as His disciples preach the word in season, out of season. May we bring the truth. May we bring it with mercy. May we bring it with courage and with strength and power that comes from God. But may we do it loving those people, no matter how far they are from God, loving them and seeking to bring them close to Him. Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 35 to 40. Jesus said to the crowds, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. Listen to that. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. There is in us, brothers and sisters, a deep and insatiable hunger for union with God. As we were born with that. It was given to us by our Creator. And because of a lack of faith, that passion, that desire for union gets thwarted, it gets turned, it gets twisted. And so all the world's glitter that it holds out to us, we get trapped. Because we think it will satisfy, but nothing will satisfy us but God Himself. Ultimately, nothing will satisfy us. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. And whoever believes in me will never thirst. This is one of those times when I say, put all your eggs in one basket. Put all your faith in the promises of God. But I told you that although you have seen me, you do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and I will not reject anyone who comes to me, because I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. And this is the will of the one who sent me, that I should not lose anything of what he gave me, but that I should raise it on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life. Everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life. And I will raise him on the last day. It's clear. But our priorities shift so much in life. They shift so much. I mentioned this, I'm sure, in years past on the program, but I remember one student I had, a very, very, very bright student, perfect SAT scores, just brilliant. He could have gone on to do great things. But he said to me when he graduated from high school, I'm going to college, I'm going to law school, I'm going to be the best lawyer this world has ever seen, and then I'll have all the money and power and influence I want. That's my goal. And no matter what I said, I couldn't change that. And that boy died at the age of 32, a lawyer in a top firm going right up the ladder, and he died of alcoholism. Brothers and sisters, when our desires get turned toward human goals, they can destroy us. When our desires get focused on God and on God's purposes, the purpose for which he created us, to know him, to love him, and to serve him in this world, and to be happy with him in the next. God, who created us, knows your deepest desires and your deepest longings. He knows them. And he will fulfill them in him. Give your whole life to him. The one who created you, the Father who gave you life, will bring you to the fullness of life. That's his promise. Put all your faith in him. God bless you. I want to offer you a free booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold. It can be received by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. If you'd like a copy of my CD, Captured by Mercy, which is on forgiveness, you can access that by going to our website, renewalministries.net.